is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, What to Do When the Whole World is Against You. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Blackwoods with He Bought My Soul at Calvary, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Soul to share. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, I like that verse. If we confess our sins and tell God, I've sinned and I feel bad about it, Lord. Or maybe your wife or your husband, you've spoken out in anger and said something you shouldn't ever have said. You knew you shouldn't say that. That's the one thing. See, people, they know how to punch people's buttons and they say certain things, don't they? But if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I asked this lady, so you have sin in your life? Yes, I do. And God can't forgive you? No, I don't think he can forgive me. So that's how little you think of God. Well, she looked at me, what do you mean? You think he can't forgive you? He's not a big enough God. He's not great enough. You're greater than him. Your sins are more powerful than God. You've sinned and it's greater than God can handle. Well, you don't even believe in God. Oh, yes, I do. I really believe in God. No, you don't believe in God, I told her. Because he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You say your sins are not forgiven. So God is not a faithful God. Is that what you're telling me? Well, no. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. What is the word? The word of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God. Don't say I've never sinned. Don't say I haven't sinned when you sinned. You make God into a liar. You see, he's already in you. He's convicting you. He's convicting you. Have you ever felt convicted? I do. And I try to say, well, you know, it's just I start quantifying my sin. It's only a little bitty one. And I'm trying to do good here. And, you know, it's just a little sin. And then that spirit of conviction comes in me. Okay, Lord, I give up. You see, God is greater than your sin. He's going to convict you of it. And you're going to have to ask forgiveness if you're a Christian. I've met many hundreds of pastors in my life, and I'll tell you, I'm disappointed in them. I'm disappointed in them. Now, I'll tell you, I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. I met a lot of Air Force officers and enlisted men, and I love those men because many of them were honest. They had integrity. They were faithful, and I knew I could trust them. Then I got out of the Air Force and I went into the ministry and I found a bunch of creeps and a bunch of monsters and people who had no conscience, no integrity, no sense of any values at all. And they called themselves pastors. What was the difference? It doesn't matter your profession. I want you to understand something, my friend. You may be a carpenter, a plumber, a lawyer. You can be anything. You can be a housekeeper. You can be a tree trimmer. You can be a ditch digger. But if you have integrity with God, that's very, very important. And it means so very much. And let me tell you something. You're way past most preachers. I had a good friend some years back. He caused a sensation because he went to the Southern Baptist Convention. They had 13,000 people there. I believe it was somewhere down south there in Atlanta, Georgia, or Nashville or somewhere. 13,000 pastors and laymen from all over the world, really. Southern Baptist. And they were all staying at these two or three big hotels there. And he went to the hotels, and I don't know how the guy got it, he and his friends. But they got the list of people who had paid to see triple X-rated movies in their rooms. Now, you know, when you go to a hotel back in, I don't know if they still do this now, but, you know, they have a TV in the room and that you can get us, you have to pay more than this when you leave, but you can watch these X-rated movies. Now, these guys didn't want to do it at home, didn't want their wives to know, I suppose, so they were away at this convention doing God's business now, this once-a-year convention,
And it seems that 97% of them, I think it was, watched X-rated movies. He found out. I believe it may have been 91%, but I believe it was 97%. Can you believe that? They thought that they were going to do this in secret. No one's going to find out that I'm watching these X-rated movies. I can talk all day about God, and then I can go back to my hotel room and watch these dirty movies. But my friend found it, and he published it. He published it in some religious magazine or something, and of course he didn't mention them by name. The hotels wouldn't give him that, but they gave him the numbers. And I thought about it. That's what pastors are. That's why we don't have any convictions in America. That's why our churches are going straight to hell in a handbasket. But I want to assure you, God knows that. And God keeps watch. He understands those things. He doesn't put up with it either. And those people may not be on the list of the righteous. I don't know. But if they think they're going to get away with that, they're wrong. They're not going to get away with that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Isn't that astonishing? God knows all about you. He's inside your heart if you've invited him in. And if you haven't invited him in, he's right at the door, and he's knocking. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, it talks about God being right at the door. And once he gets into your heart, man, greater is he than he that is in the world. Now, I want to talk about some other verses I've discovered here that really mean a lot. For one thing, Christ, if you're lukewarm, if you say, well, I really don't, I'm not that big of a sinner and blah, 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 you know, I'm a good man and all that. Well, you're lukewarm. That's what you are. I like it better than a guy. If somebody comes in and says, I'm a sinner, I need God. I need more of God's spirit in me. I want his love and I want his strength in me. And they pray and they ask God and they, well, whatever you ask for, friends, you're going to get. Did you know that? Jesus said so. People receive not because they ask not. If you want it, if you want God, ask for him. Ask for him to come in. He'll come in. He'll have supper with you. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? I mean, he wanted to see God so much, as Jesus came down the pathway, he actually climbed a tree. He was a man of very small stature, and he looked down upon Jesus, and Jesus looked up and said, well, come on down from that tree, Zacchaeus. I'm going to go to dinner at your house tonight. That was pretty presumptuous, wasn't it? Maybe Zacchaeus' wife didn't have anything cooked that night. I don't know. But God would provide. Christ would provide. He did it for the wine, didn't he? Of course. After they ran out of wine, he went and got a better wine. And they said, wow, this is better than the first wine. Revelation 3:16 says something. You know, God would prefer that you be hot or cold. That's what it says in Revelation 3. If you're hot for God, that's great. If you're on fire for the Lord, that's wonderful. But if you claim you're of Christ Jesus, if you claim you're a Christian and you're cold, well, that's not good. But it's better than being lukewarm. Now, that may surprise you. If you're a cook, I'm sure, or you're trying to make something that should be hot. You know, when something just lukewarm is just not good. It would be better to be cold or hot. That's interesting, isn't it? You would think that lukewarm is second best, but not with God. I used to know an Air Force general, and his theme, he told the all the airmen, he says, you're either all the way in the Air Force or all the way out. All the way in or all the way out. I like that. I like that, gentlemen. That's what God says. You're all the way in or you're all the way out.
But don't be lukewarm. Don't stay in the middle. Who was it? George Patton that said, you know, if you either lead or get out of the way. Well, cold is death. But lukewarm, that's the middle ground of hell. And God says he will spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm. Think about that. Have you ever tasted, you took a taste of something, you realize it was bad, it was spoiled? Ugh. Just spit it out of your mouth. That's what will happen to you from God. Now, the circumstances of this world may be overpowering. Maybe you have lost your job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're sick and you're just feeling so down because of your body. And you say, man, the devil's got a hold of me. Let me tell you something, friends. The devil has no power over you. Even your own body has no power over you. Pilate told Jesus, why don't you answer me? Why are you mute, standing there as a deaf mute? Don't you know I have the power to let you go? I can let you go. But you're standing there mute. I could put you to death too. I could either put you to death or let you go. I have the power to do either one. The Gospel of John chapter 19, Jesus answered back and he said, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Wow. You don't have any power against me unless it's been given to you. Now, have you ever read the book of Job? That's an important book. You see, Job was a very good man. He was what we would call a Christian man. He lived for God, and God had greatly rewarded him. But the devil said, sure, he went up to see God, and he said, sure, he obeys you, he's your man, but hey, that's because I've never got a chance to get a hold of him. You always protected him. Now, you take that hedge of protection away, and I'll show you, he'll curse you. Wow. God says, well, I'll let you take the hedge of protection away. You can do everything but kill him. See, God knew. He knew what Job was going to do. He knows the future. But the devil didn't know. So the devil began to torment Job. Oh, he took away his family. He got sick. He lost all his riches. He was a poor beggar on the side of the road with all horrible boils and sores all over his body. And his friends came and said, man, what have you done? You must be a big sinner. Look at all the horrible things that have happened to you. You need to confess your sins. He says, well, I haven't done anything. It's just what happened to me. Friends, this may be your case. Maybe you don't deserve what you're getting. Maybe people are persecuting you. Maybe your own family, they don't understand. Maybe you're really a Christian. You're trying to live for God, and they're living like the devil, and they just look down on you. They're the world. They're the devil's own, and you know, you're living for God, and so they're persecuting you. And Job says, you know, you're not my friends. You claim you're my friends. Leave me alone. You know, leave me alone in my misery. I'm better off without you. So really only had one friend then, God. And you know, that's when God started working on his behalf. Because Job said, I don't care. He told his so-called friends, he said, I don't care what happens to me. I'm still going to serve God. I don't care what happens. I'm going to serve God. And the devil heard that. Must not have liked it. Man, what? He couldn't do anything more. The guy was a beggar on the side of the road, full of sores and disease, and he still worshiped God. And it's at that moment that God began to work miracles in Job's life. He restored everything. And Job, well, he eventually died, we all do, to this world. But I believe I'll see Job one day. I'll say, boy, that was, I love that story written about you, Job, in the Bible. That was just wonderful. And Job will say, oh, yes, it was. Thank God I didn't start cursing him like they thought I would. They wanted me to curse God. They wanted me to say something that wasn't true. But I just said, I'm going to worship God, even no matter what happens. Even if he takes my life, I'm going to keep worshiping him. And the devil will shrink. You see, the devil's a pitiful, defeated creature. He's long gone, my friends. Remember, Jesus came and destroyed the works of the devil. And he actually challenged the devil. Well, come on, I'll let you do this to my servant. Now, why did God do that? You say, well, why would God allow that for you and me? So we could see that example. So you could read the book of Job. So you could understand exactly what, what kind of God we serve. A great God. A God that is greater than he that is in the world. Now, Jesus told Pilate, you don't have any power over me unless it's been given to you. Now think about that. So the world is against you. So bad things have happened to you. So now you're saying, I've got the whole world on my shoulders. Well, there's your problem, friends. You haven't turned it over to God. You know, Atlas is the god of the ancients, of the Romans and the Greeks. And boy, he was just, he was struggling with all his power. But they told him, don't shrug. If you shrug your shoulders, the whole world's going to fall. Mm-hmm. And it would have, I'm assuming. But you see, this is a different situation. If you have God on your side, you don't worry. That whirl is not so heavy. I mean, if you think about a huge beach ball. They used to sell them in the stores. They were giant. Boy, they didn't weigh anything at all. You just knock the thing up into the air and it'd rise 50 or 60 feet and travel. It was very light. That's the way the world's going to be for you, my friends. It's going to get lighter and lighter until suddenly the beach ball just is carried away with the wind. And you'll be victorious. It's going to happen in time. You may have some bad things happen to you for a while. They happen to all of us. You're not unique. You're not special. Maybe God's testing you. But listen, you just keep... stay faithful. Keep looking at God. Treasures, his treasures in heaven are so powerful. And even on earth, listen, friends, even if there was no heaven, I'd still serve God right here on earth. It's more fun. It's more rewarding. And the love that comes to you is so powerful right here on earth. And then think of the bonuses of heaven.
And dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.